Hey guys, welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. I am hoping you have had an incredible week. I am currently sitting in my secret office, having a nice end of the weekend beverage. We just had sushi. We had our brother and sister in town, Shanites. Brother and then his wife, our amazing sister in town, and it was a blast. We had so much fun, and AB had a ball. If you happen to follow me on Instagram, you might have seen her on the porch with us after midnight, dancing and laughing hysterically with her parents and her very cool aunt and uncle. And yeah, it was super fun. And then she got up and got to go in her new cool jogger that we got. We bit the bullet, bought this really cool fancy jogger, and the guys ran many miles with her, and she had a great weekend. So lots of fun. I hope you're doing well. If you are new here, this is a place for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to come together and just chat about our lives. As the mom to a beautiful little girl, my daughter, AB, who I was just speaking about, with profound special needs, I have known since the second she came home how important it was for me. It was like a magnet. I was just drawn. I'm sure many of you listening can understand this. I was drawn to my phone. At any moment that I could really kind of step away, I was looking up Instagram accounts, blogs, Facebook pages, books, whether they were on Amazon or self-published, and just devouring any way that I could connect with other women who are doing similar things. Even if their stories look totally different, if their kids had a totally different diagnosis, I wanted to hear from them. I wanted to hear from these women that were on a path that was unique, that did not fit into the, you know, milestone A, milestone B, milestone C kind of journey. And as I began to connect with these women, whether I knew them in person, whether they were friends online, or whether they were total strangers that I found what they were sharing with the world online, it really was like therapy. It was just so encouraging. And that connection is what I hope to create here. So this is the 13th episode, and I have had so much fun interviewing guests about what their lives look like. And my goal is that you feel, as a listener, that you are hanging on my back porch, having a beverage of your choice, and relaxing, enjoying life, and having a good time. Now, you may have noticed a little E next to this podcast, and sometimes that means, obviously it means explicit, but sometimes that means there's adult language. I always want my guests to feel like they can be completely themselves. And if that involves adult language, bring it. I love it. I am a massive, I'm a fan. I am a fan. And if you know me in real life, then you would know if you were actually on my back porch, like I said, then that would probably be around. Unless, of course, your kids were there or your, you know, like your great-grandmother. Other than that, it may come out. But the other reason, and this is even the bigger reason, because not every episode has adult language, but I keep it there because I really want parents to know before they hit play that these are adult conversations, that there might be something in there. I don't know your situation. I don't know what it would feel like for your child to hear these conversations. I know I don't always want AB to hear the behind the scenes of parenting, and I sure wouldn't want her to hear anything where I'm saying something that might feel stressful or confusing to her, and I wouldn't want that for your child either. So that's just kind of my warning, that if you feel that you need to grab headphones for your situation, to go ahead and grab them. All right, this episode, episode 13, Choosing Joy Over Defeat, Raising Multiple Kids with Special Needs with Little Support. I am so honored that my guest, my incredible, amazing guest, Ashley Montano, came on the show and was so transparent. Ashley had a childhood that was extremely challenging. I mean, I'm saying that in a nice way. I'm going to let her tell you about that. And then when she was 19, she was pregnant. At 20, her and her husband welcomed their newborn baby boy, and they realized pretty quickly, yes and no. You're going to hear her talk about that kind of the journey towards a diagnosis. But eventually, they found out that he had a heart condition and Williams syndrome. So Ashley is a young mom. She's figuring out how to handle that. And a few years into that journey, they decide they're going to have another child. And they welcome their beautiful little girl. And as time went by, she was diagnosed with severe autism and a chromosome deletion. So Ashley has found herself this powerhouse of strength within her to handle the ups and the downs, the highs and the very low lows of this life, of being essentially in many ways by herself. She talks about how she doesn't have a nanny, how she doesn't have respite care, how she doesn't feel that she has really support in many of the ways that people feel are almost like a default. Well, at least I have my family to help if need be. And sometimes a lot of you listening are saying, that's not me. I don't have that. I don't have that situation. And so Ashley's speaking very honestly about what it's like in her situation, raising kids with multiple special needs. So raising multiple kids with multiple special needs with minimal support, minimal support, and how she is choosing every day to go with joy over defeat and what that looks like. And not that you don't feel bad and have really hard moments. That's why I love Ashley, is she's so honest about that. But she is finding and sharing the journey of learning to choose joy. So Ashley, I am so grateful for you coming on the show. Ashley was in Southern California, and which I love her pictures because you can see the landscape behind her in many of them. And I've never been to California, so I'm excited every time I see the pictures. And I am in a small town in Tennessee, and occasionally cell phone service is, you know, great. And occasionally cell phone service is a little iffy. And so we had some iffy little moments in there, but you're definitely going to be able to hear what she has to say. And that's just the way it goes with technology. But Ashley, thank you for being on the show. And let's do this. Hi, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
I am so eager to talk to you. Thank you so much for hopping on the phone.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now tell us where you are located in the planet right now, because I feel like your weather is really nice.
Literally outside of my house in Southern California.
Southern California. That sounds amazing.
It does, but it's been 116 degrees the past 3 days, and it's not been that amazing.
My gosh. Yeah, then it's a problem. My gosh. Well, I am so excited to talk to you. Like so many other people out there, I am obsessed with your Instagram account and everything that you put out, and I love your family. And
thank you.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. So before we kind of hop in, for people who don't know you or have been following you for just a little while, take us kind of back and just explain to us your situation with being a mom and with your beautiful kids, and then we'll go from there.
So my name's Ashley Montano. If you don't know me, I have two kids, Ryder, who is 6 and a half, Harper, who is 2 and a half. Ryder was my first child. I got pregnant with him when I was 19. I gave birth to him when I was 20. When we had him, everything was normal with the birth, although he did come out blue and his blood sugar was very low. And this is something that should have been super alarming to us and to the hospital. And the hospital was just like, oh, he's cold. We're going to go put him under some lights. And now thinking back on what I know now, almost 7 years later, it's just mind-blowing that we could have gone and our baby could have potentially died because the hospital just was telling us that he's cold. And when you're blue, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're cold. He has a heart condition that was undetected during my entire pregnancy. And even when after I gave birth, the only thing that was detected was a murmur. So it was very scary, honestly, having my first child and all of these little things that just kept popping up. And so we followed up with the cardiologist about 6 months later because, referrals and all of that fun stuff usually takes quite some time to get in. And then we were told that he had pulmonary stenosis and that we needed to get, I believe, an MRI. We went to the MRI, and the anesthesiologist walked in and told us, Ryder will die today if we put him under anesthesia. And I said, excuse me, what?
No.
No.
What?
We're going to leave now. And we never went back to the hospital again.
Oh, my gosh.
That, as a new parent, just totally sent me into this whole new world. So after that, then I was just on a search for a doctor that could help us, because I felt like everybody was already starting to fail us. And in my mind, I'm like, this isn't what doctors are supposed to do. Doctors are supposed to be helping us.
Right.
So about a year and a half later, honestly, about 12 doctors later, we finally found a doctor that instantly walked into the room and was like, Ryder has Williams syndrome. And we're like, what? Oh, what is that? I mean, my son is almost 2 years old. I've never heard these words before in my life. Like, what are you talking about? And he's an older gentleman, so he couldn't really work the computer. So I literally cannot wait to get out of that hospital to Google what Williams syndrome is.
Right.
And then from there, I just started being just this complete, just like, oh my gosh, in a whole other world. I'm just reading all these little categories that they have for them. And I'm like, every single one is my son. Like,
wow.
Every single one. I'm like, how is this possible? How do we go 2 years without this being detected? Like, I'm just mind blown. So
wow.
After then, we had his open heart surgery, and he got post-punctoria, and that really sent me into a lot of grief, a lot of depression, a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. It was just a really hard time in our lives. We stayed in the hospital for 5.5 months. I mean, we literally walked our son into the hospital, and our son could not even lift his head up to leave the hospital. It was one of the most traumatic situations in our whole entire life. I do know that people leave the hospital empty-handed without their babies all the time.
Right.
I know. Trust me, my best friend's daughter died. And I totally feel and sympathize. But for us, that was something that was so traumatic. Like, you know, our baby being able to walk in and then not being able to walk out was just like,
whoa.
What in the world is, where is this taking us?
Yeah.
Then eventually, you know, we decided together that we should have another baby. Only so there could be somebody always there to love on Ryder, you know, when we're not there, because, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to live forever. Then we had Harper, and at about 1 year old, Harper really started mimicking a lot of Ryder's behaviors, and not the behaviors that are super favorable. And we just kept thinking, like, why is she doing this? Is she doing this for attention?
Wow.
And then I started researching, and then I started... then I called Regional Center, actually, and I told them that she had a speech delay. She wasn't saying mom, she wasn't saying dad, she wasn't really saying anything besides a whole lot of screaming. So the doctor blew me off. He's like, oh, she's totally fine. I'm like, you do know that I have experience with Ryder.
You know,
don't tell me that she's totally fine. She's not totally fine. We need to do something to support her. You can't just let her, you know, go without this therapy.
Yeah.
So finally, we started getting through Regional Center, and we started going to these places for evaluations, and all the science just added up to me that she had autism. So finally, after pushing and pushing and pushing, we got a appointment with the neurologist about 8 months out, and we finally just went to the neurologist in April on my birthday, and Harper was diagnosed with severe autism. Come to find out, we did some genetic testing about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the appointment, and she has a chromosome deletion called 3P26.3 deletion, which is a genetic thing, and that's what causes her severe autism. And we're still learning about it. We're still educating ourselves about it. Honestly, it was a big shock and something that was really hard to swallow. I was expecting autism 120%. I wasn't expecting any other chromosome deletion, because Williams syndrome is a chromosome deletion too.
Okay.
So both of our kids have a different chromosome deletion, which is just, genetics just work in such a crazy way. And they're both like a random mutation. It wasn't like either one of us were the carriers.
Wow.
So it just makes things just very, you know, question. I mean, not questions, but just like, how does one person get struck by lightning twice and still survive and
right.
still continue on in life and be positive and try to find the joy in everything? Because sometimes this is hard, and
yeah.
I want people to know that just because we talk about it so freely and openly now doesn't mean that when we got these diagnoses, it was easy, because honestly, it was really, really hard to navigate through all of this.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I'm sure there are parents listening that are nodding their heads saying, thank God someone's saying that, yeah, it is so hard.
It is hard.
I can't imagine when you got that second diagnosis. When you got mm-hmm. that, were you thinking, okay, at this point in my life, what comes next? Like, what does daily life look like from that point on? How did you, the next morning, how did you face your day?
It was really hard, honestly. When I just knew, I have a really good, like, intuition, sixth sense. I could just feel it all weekend that the results were in for her pre-cell, like, panel. Mm-hmm. We were honestly testing for Fragile X, which the doctor thought that she originally had. And I called Monday morning, like, first thing. I knew that they were open, and I left a message. And, like, literally within 5 minutes, the phone rang, and it was the doctor's office calling back. And it's the doctor on the phone. So as soon as I heard her voice, I was like, I know what's coming. I just don't know what. And then it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just think to myself, you know, like, I pretty much do this 6 days a week by myself. I have no help. I have no respite. I have no home nurses. I have no babysitter. I have no nanny. I do this all by myself. My husband works probably like 16 to 20 hours per day, about 3 hours away from our house. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just thinking in my head, like, how am I going to do this? You know, Harper's been eloping. She just melts down. She's biting me. She's hitting me. And I'm just thinking, like, what is my future going to look like? Like, either A, I need to become a bodybuilder so I can literally be able to defend myself against my daughter. Or B, I need to, like, figure something out and clone myself, because it's humanly impossible for me. It's getting super impossible because she's getting bigger.
Wow.
And her aggressions are getting worse, and her emotions are all over the place. And it's just, it's very unknown. And then I have Ryder, which I feel like sometimes I'm feeling, because it's so hard, because Harper's so much and Ryder's so much. And I have to give my all to both of them at the same time in different ways, because they both need different things. And it's just overwhelming. I just feel like sometimes I just want to curl up in a ball and just say, I just sometimes don't know how I get through day to day. I just keep in my mind that we just have to get through today. Like, as long as we get through today, we're fine. Like, and then we can worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes.
But yeah.
I don't want to stress myself out about the future, you know, because nobody knows what the future holds.
Right. Oh, I'm so moved by your honesty. And this kind of takes us into the topic that you and I both decided we would talk about, which is when you feel like you have a lack of support. You know, one thing we've talked about mm-hmm. on the podcast is the importance of finding support and the importance of finding people. And I think it's really good to talk about when you feel like your network in your case, I feel like you would say that they have failed you, like the people
in
your group.
They have failed me. And they've failed me since I was a child. And that's something that inspires me every day to be the best person and mom I can be, because growing up with parents who are drug addicts and alcoholics really changed your perspective on life. You know, since I was in kindergarten, I can remember going home and just thinking, like, great, my friends kept sober today because my parents are high. You know, like, great, my parents are going to be locked in the bedroom all weekend. Like, I have to take care of my brother.
Mm.
This is a normal thing for kids that kids should think about. And then it's hard, but honestly, I've learned to just not, I can't dwell on the past, because unfortunately, it's not going to change any of it. It was hard. It got me through. I feel like it got me ready for what I was about to go through in my own adulthood. And if I wouldn't have gone through that, I couldn't have been as strong as I am now.
Wow.
From what I've seen, because I just think that, like, I can't be like that. You know, I have to show my kids that you can be better and that you can do better.
Wow. What, oh my gosh, what an unbelievable perspective, because it could be so easy to follow those same behaviors.
And it can be so easy to fall into the steps that, like, oh my gosh, negativity can just, like, you know, is attracted to me because, like, that's all I deserve, but that's not what I deserve. You know what I'm saying? You have to change your outlook and you have to think, like, this is going to be better. Like, I'm going to make it better.
Right.
Whether or not it's perfect, I'm going to make this the best that it can be. And that's it.
You know, when I think about your story too, the fact that the way your childhood, what that required of you, and then you having your first child, being pregnant at 19, it's like one continuous, it's like a marathon. I'm not
sure. It is like a marathon. And then, you know, my grandpa was a huge part of my life. My grandpa was honestly probably the only big support system that I ever had. And literally right after I gave birth to Ryder, he passed away. And I always felt in my heart that, like, he knew that something was going on with Ryder. And he felt like it was either one or the other. Like, only one of them could go on. And my grandpa lived the most fulfilling life. You know, he was the most amazing person. So it was hard for him to be gone. But I see him all the time. I'm a firm believer that when people pass away, they come to visit you. Like, I don't know. I see you don't follow me on my Instagram.
I believe
a couple weeks ago, a hummingbird flew into my house.
What?
And, like, when does that happen?
You know,
like, hummingbirds don't fly into your house. And hummingbirds, to me, is a symbol of him, my grandpa. And it literally flew up my stairs into Ryder's room and perched itself on Ryder's, like, blanket that's hanging on the wall that says, like, God will protect you or something like that. I can't remember the exact phrase on there, but the hummingbird was perched on there. God. I'm like, what in the world?
What?
And then I just started getting all these messages. Like, do you even know what this means? Like, you should look it up. Like, and then I started looking up, you know, all of the things, and I'm, wow, this is incredible. Like, and I feel like when I put it out there, like, I need that sign that, like, I'm doing okay, or that,
yeah,
you know, you're proud of me, or, like, you know, whatever. I'll get that. And, like, look, a hummingbird flew into my house. Like, that's just incredible.
I am a firm believer in that. I mean, if I see, like, a penny in an odd place, I'm like, okay, who's talking to me? If I see this, I'm like, what's going on? All the time.
Or I'm driving on the freeway and I'll be, like, listening to a song because music is something that makes me cry. And I just feel like therapeutically just really helps. Get through, like, emotions, and I'll be like, sing me a song, and then it will just start raining, like, and it's not even raining anywhere else, and I'm like, see, this is the stuff that makes me even more of a firm believer, because clearly, these things just don't happen.
No, you know, they don't, and I have never, I am constantly in that zone of seeing things, thinking things, feeling things, but the hummingbird flying into your house, up the stairs, into his bedroom, I am floored. That is just, it's just so in your face, phenomenal. I mean, I can't imagine how that felt. Were you just like, are you kidding me? That is unbelievable.
At first, I was in so much disbelief. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I flew up to Ryder's room, and then it got really calm. And I'm like, hummingbirds are not calm. Like, honestly, one of my goals in life is to hold a hummingbird. Like, I love hummingbirds, but they don't like you. You know, they just they fly so fast. And this one let me hold it, let me touch it. I even, like, carried it outside.
What?
I'm like, yes.
No.
Yeah, I, like, picked it up in one of Ryder's, like, beanies, you know, to take it outside, because I'm like, this thing cannot live inside of our house. Like,
right.
Hummingbirds, as much as I want this to be, like, a real-life thing, I just don't think that I'm Snow White. You should take it outside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I even held it. I have, like, a picture of me, like, touching its head. I mean, like, when does that happen? Like, hummingbirds do not let you touch them. But this is another thing. Like, when you put it out there, like, look at how much stuff can come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you think negatively, then that's what you get. But when you think positively and you just change your mindset, it's incredible the things that can happen.
I am so with you in that. And that's why I love in your Instagram, like the bio at the top, you say choosing joy over defeat. I love that because it is, and it's one of those things where it's like, no, you are in control of your thought, you know, and like choose a different
thought. And you're in control of the the stuff around you. What you put out in the universe is what the universe gives back to you.
If you put
out there that it's going to be a bad day, then it's going to be a bad day. If you put out there that you're going to make it a good day, then it's going to be a good day.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
I was just listening to an interview with someone and they said, you can choose your thought. And the next person said, you could choose your day. I mean, you could choose how it feels. Wow.
And even if you wake up and it's a bad day, you can still change it and make it a better day. That's the thing. That's where I feel like people get stuck is like, oh, it's just a bad day. It's going to continue to be a bad day. But it's like, change your chain of thought and watch how much things change around you.
Right. And I feel like you are such an incredible example of that constantly with what you put out into the world and how it would be so easy for someone in your situation for a number of reasons to think doom and gloom all the time and to never kind of crawl out of that space. And for you to be constantly putting out there the positivity and the beauty, and that takes strength, you know? It's like what you were saying. You had to finding that strength, acting out of that. That takes so much strength, and it's such an inspiration. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much for saying that. That means so much, because honestly, I just feel like a regular mediocre mom that's just navigating her way through life like everybody else, because we all have different journeys and different things that we go through, and we all just navigate through it, and we all just do the best that we possibly can, and for me, I just try to be better than I was yesterday and just try to work on what I think needs to be better, because we all have room for growth and we all have room to be better and just do better and just.
Well, I love your home. I love all your pictures. I love everything you put out. And for women who are in a similar boat, in a similar situation, whether that be their childhood looks, you know, there's going to be listeners out there who are like, thank God somebody's talking about that. Because that's how my childhood was, or that's how it felt, or that's what I'm in right now. And if someone was listening that is in a similar situation with not only perhaps their upbringing, but also with the multiple diagnoses and the surprises and the ups and downs, what would your advice be at this point in your life for that woman?
I think that you really need to give yourself grace first, and I think you need to tell yourself that you're doing the best you can, because you truly are doing the best you can. And I feel like a lot of the times we're so hard on ourselves, we compare ourselves, and, oh, this person looks like they have their life together, and it looks like it's so easy. But realistically, nobody's life is easy, because behind the scenes, it's a big mess, and I embrace that mess every single day.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
And it's not going to be easy every single day. There's going to be days when it's so hard, and trust me, I feel those days a lot of the time.
Right.
I do. And it's hard. And it's hard to pull yourself out of that, those thoughts. But you have to think about what you're positive for. Try to remind yourself four things you're grateful for per day. Because honestly, that's a really big life changer for me. When my best friend's daughter passed away, that's something that really changed my perspective and started making me feel grateful for the things that I have and stop complaining about the things that are going on. Like my kid crying. Do you know how many parents would give anything to hear their kid cry?
Yeah.
They would give anything.
Gosh, that's powerful. That is really powerful. Four things. Oh, man, Ashley, you are unreal. I hope you, I hope if you're not already, I hope you write a book or do more.
You know, honestly, I was just telling my husband about that. I was like, I'm manifesting that in my own world. And I wish that potentially I can write a book one day, because I feel like my story needs to be heard. And I feel like it's relatable. And I feel like we can all relate on some level, whether or not you have two special needs kids or one, or you have no kids.
Right.
I feel like in some shape, way, or form, we can all relate. And we just need to continue to keep choosing joy and not feel defeated, because some days it feels super, super defeating. Like, how am I going to go on?
Right.
But I'm going to go on, because my kids can continue to go on and be warriors, so I can continue to do the thing.
Wow. Okay. You need to write the book. You need to.
I got to give you the credit.
Well, I am so inspired. And I could talk to you for a week. I want to meet you and hang out in Southern California.
I know.
I feel like we're very similar. We have very similar views of the world, and the hummingbird story is going to be sticking with me for a very long time. So thank you for sharing
that. The hummingbird story, honestly, it just pulls at me in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Because I talk to my grandpa all the time, and I tell him things, and I'm like, hello, I need a sign. And you need to tell me that, like, I'm doing this thing, like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, tell me something. Hello? I need something. Because he always used to tell me, like, you're such a good mom. And honestly, I don't need to hear that every day to, like, know in my heart that I know I'm a good mom for the most part. Yes, I do have my moments where I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I just sometimes just need those little signs that, like, you're doing okay. Like, I see you.
Yeah. And when you feel in your situation, I could imagine, I don't want to speak for you, that it could feel that your lack, that your support is not there, or is very minimal.
Like that. And it feels like it's very minimal. I'm super appreciative of, like, the small little tribe of people that we have, like, in our Williamson syndrome support groups and in the deletion support group for Harper. But honestly, those tribes are so small, and I find myself kind of hard to relate to other people because what happens to my kids is just so rare that not a lot of other people kind of experience this and kind of go through it. So sometimes I find myself kind of like, my son doesn't do that, or my daughter doesn't do that, or she's totally the opposite of that. So it's hard. I feel like you just have to find, like, your few close people, and I'm super thankful that my husband and I can be close and see eye to eye on things, because that would make this a heck of a lot harder if we weren't in the space that we are in. I feel like it took for us to go through, because we were best friends before we got married, and then we got married, and then, you know, we had Ryder, and we went through all the stuff with Ryder, and now we're going through all the stuff with Ryder, and I feel like it's just strengthened us together, individually, our faith, everything. I mean, it's just incredible, because most of the time we feel like these things end in divorce, because especially parents sometimes don't see eye to eye, and it's scary seeing statistics, like 85%. Like, I don't want that to be us. I feel like our kids need the support system of both of us.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Well,
I feel like I could go on for days.
I could listen to you for days. I'm looking at the time and I'm bummed. I'm like, I could listen to you for days. I end every interview typically with three questions, and those three are: are you sleeping?
Definitely not sleeping, and I hate naps.
Oh man. How do you get your, do you drink coffee? How do you?
I drink espresso I drink a triple shot a day and no naps. I can't do naps. I just can't. Who's going to watch the kids?
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. My next two questions are: what has recently felt like a defeat? What has recently felt like a victory?
A defeat, I personally feel like, is getting out of the house with Harper. It's getting extremely hard. There's just so many things that trigger her and upset her, and lights and sounds and people. And it's super defeating, honestly, because I feel like, okay, today's going to be a great day and she's not going to elope for me. And then I give her like a tiny bit of freedom and she's gone.
Wow.
And I'm like, dang it. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We can start over. It's going to get better. I just have to keep telling myself it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And a victory for me personally is being able to get out of the house 5 days a week with the kids by myself.
Yeah, that's
huge. I feel like,
huge.
Honestly, super mom. And I'm not trying to say, like, oh, I'm so super mom. But that to me makes me feel like super mom.
You are
super
mom.
I do that all by myself. I do lunches, I do everything. And I get to the Apple House in the car by myself. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we got in the car, we're good. Like, we can do this. We can do it today.
Huge. That's huge. I mean, when I get my daughter in the car, and when you speak about the defeat and the victory of getting out of the house, I understand that in a different way, because my daughter has sensory challenges. She has cerebral palsy and she's nonverbal, and we have a great wheelchair. But her sensory challenges, like, I used to take her to the grocery store. I used to take her into restaurants in the wheelchair. And it was like, you know, the challenge was simply maneuvering the wheelchair. And then all of this.
Yes, because no restaurants are accommodable to wheelchairs, which makes no sense.
Right. And at the time I thought, well, that's the challenge. And then all of a sudden she started to have these sensory challenges, where I would take her in somewhere. I mean, very long story short, we think it's about her vision and some depth perception, but that's when the nonverbal component becomes difficult. But her body would go into what a bystander, like a stranger would think is a seizure. Like she would just start convulsing and grunting, and that was really hard to figure out. And so, yeah, when you talk about going out, like we have very specific places memorized, and then moving beyond that, even to like a birthday party or even certain places in even in the yard where I know, like, okay, if we get this close to the garage, it's going to be a problem. Those moments can be challenging. And yes, getting in the car, getting out there, doing things is huge. I mean, it's huge. And so I applaud you because you are amazing. I so appreciate you hopping on here at 9 a.m.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to be really excited to read your book. Okay. So let me know when that's out.
<Thank you.
laughs> And I will let people know in the outro in just a minute where they can find you. And I so appreciate your time. And thank you so much. You're unbelievable. And your honesty is just so, so appreciated.
Thank you for giving me space to share my journey. And hopefully by sharing this journey, I can help heal other people and help continue to heal myself. Mm.
I know you already are, and I'm excited to see everywhere it goes. You are a powerful woman, Ashley. It's unreal.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, I will speak with you soon. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, unreal. Ashley, thank you, thank you, thank you. Friends, if you want to find Ashley, and I know you do, and let me just say, you're going to be blown away by her pictures. She just has this beautiful platform on social media, and the way she uses her words and her life to just be transparent is inspiring. You're going to love it. And if you don't follow her already, go do it. On Facebook, she has a page that is Hope for Writer, R-Y-D-E-R. And on Instagram, she is _ Ashley Montano. So that's _ A-S-H-L-E-Y-M-O-N-T-A-N-O. You will be joining the thousands of other people who follow Ashley's every post. And thank you again, Ashley. Unbelievable. If you would like to find me, I am on Instagram at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. And from there, you can hit the link tree and you can see my blog, my shop, my podcast, of course, and some other fun things. This podcast comes out every single Monday, and I also have a newsletter that comes out every Friday. On Fridays, I give you a little preview, a sneak peek of what's coming up on the podcast, and at least a few times a month, sometimes more, I give discounts to my shop. If you're looking at your phone and you can see the logo of my podcast, that was the logo to my shop, the Mama Bear Shop, for a long time before this podcast even existed. And it was the very first product I created. So I have those on t-shirts, baseball tees, hoodies, Razorback tanks, even some hats, some beanies. And then we also have Papa Bear. We have some designs for the kids and a few other things. So if you're ever interested in that, when you sign up to the newsletter, it will give you an immediate coupon to the shop. How to sign up to the newsletter, you can go to my Instagram, hit the link tree, and go to the link that says, I would love to have your email. I'm being very honest. And the other way is to just go to my website, which is www.themamabearsite.com, and a little screen will pop up. And again, if that interests you, I would love to have you. I love sending those updates out on Fridays. I have so much fun with that. I sit on my porch, and it's a great way for me to close out the week to speak to all my friends that enjoy having me in their email inbox. And I know that that is a privilege, and I treat it as such. So I show up on Fridays, you know it's coming, and then I leave you be. So thank you guys so much for being here. And my last thing that I'll say before I sign off is if you are at all interested in sharing this podcast, whether that is taking a screenshot of it and then putting it on Instagram, you can tag me at Mary Susan McConnell. You can do a hashtag the Mama Bear podcast, tag me in a post, or email it to your friends, your clinics. It is growing, and I am getting messages from other women who are saying, I'm getting messages from multiple teachers and PTs, OTs that are saying they're enjoying hearing the insight from the women that they work with, kind of getting a better idea of what this journey is like raising children with special needs. And then I'm getting messages from moms who are in low points, like, you know, the hard moments when you're in the hospital. For me, that's when I'm really on my phone trying to find other stories that feel similar. And they are finding it because you are sharing it. So thank you so much for sharing it. Please continue to do so. And if you are enjoying this content, I would love it if you'd scroll down and be willing to give a happy rating or review. It takes a few seconds, and I can't tell you how much it means in the searchability and helping this thing grow. So guys, Godspeed. Have a great week. I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.